The following is a message from the Vadius School of Broadcasting.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
What a long, strange trip it's been, fellas. After the last 5 years of doing this site. It's been 5 years, right?
Guys, it really been that long?
We've had some weird encounters, some interesting guests, and some blood feuds. And then there's this thing. This strange dust-up with the folks over at Death Metal Underground. And we're going to get all into it on this episode. We're going to cover the origins of the beef. We're going to talk about some of the strange extremities that it went to. And we're going to leave no details spared for your listening pleasure. But first, we have this note from our sponsors.
Are you ready for some action tonight? You outlaw metal alpha? Hot and horny trad wives can't wait to hear you blame all your problems on SJWs and feminism. Pontificate their brains out right now with your theories on race inferiority. Drive them wild with your defense of bands like Horna and Watain. It's so easy, baby. Just put down your copy of Mein Kampf, pick up the phone, and call us at 1-900-368-2825. Blue eyes, blonde hair, and child-bearing hips are waiting for you. Hold on extra tight to your traditional values and get ready to fully embrace your master race. Call us now at 1-900-368-2825. That's 1-900-DMU-CUCK. We're waiting.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get this show started, guys. I see no reason why we won't just dive right in to this disgusting Death Metal Underground feud. Jordan, what do you think?
You know, I think it's been, like you said, a long, strange trip. It doesn't really make a lot of sense when you look beneath the surface. But here we are. And I think it's important, not just for us, but for you specifically, to kind of peel the onion, so to speak, and kind of get to the heart of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much to say about this. There's just more words than I could probably put together in an hour, maybe hour 20 minutes sort of a show. Lots of stuff to say and not enough time to say it. Well, maybe lots of time to say it. But, you know, despite all of the things that we could say, at first, I'd like to take a quick break from just a real quick word from our sponsor.
Are you having trouble getting your band signed due to you, your bandmates, or you and your bandmates' shady dealings in the past? Here at Centrist Media Records, regardless of how objectively awful you are as a musician or human being, we promise
guaranteed record deal.
Bankruptcy, divorce, repossession,
guaranteed record deal.
Murder charges, abuse your spouse, racist Facebook tirade,
guaranteed record deal.
At Centrist Media Records, we refuse to consider the self-righteous virtue signaling of social justice warriors lacking the immense intelligence and brain power necessary to separate craftsmen from craft. We exist only to support true art and freedom of self-expression. Just listen to a few of my satisfied suckers, I mean clients, in regards to working with Centrist Media Records. Previously, I played bass and wrote lyrics for nationalist socialist black metal groups Goatwolf SS, Uber Satankampf, and Hitler Auschwitz Moon, so I could showcase my extensive collection of Nazi memorabilia live on stage. But my new band, Hijabs Ablaze, is not a political band, and I haven't played NSBM in over 11 weeks. Regardless of this, sanctimonious SJW labels refused to sign me anyway. Centrist Media Records didn't care. They don't care about anything. Especially not promoting my album. True black nihilism in its most supreme form. I honored them greatly for this.
Guaranteed record deal.
Let's be honest. Who doesn't have a child pornography possession charge or two? It's not like I touched any of those fucking kids. Regardless of my past or present, Centrist Media Records was more than happy to upload my album to Bandcamp and then take all of what little money my album made on Bandcamp. I'm pretty sure I couldn't have done it without them. Thanks, Centrist Media.
Centrist Media Records. Everyone shut the fuck up and watch more South Park.
So yeah, there's really no point in dancing around the subject, you know, no dilly-dallying to be had on this episode because we have, again, so much that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it would be good for me, I don't think it would be good for you guys or for our listeners, for us to avoid any ugly angle of this whole scenario. So, I mean, without any further ado, I think that we need to hear this word from our sponsors.
Have you or a loved one been subjected to reading pleb tier level SJW think piece posts on toiletofhell.com? Side effects of reading toiletofhell.com can result in a sudden lack of understanding about the depth of war metal, the importance of the Ross Bay Cult Eternal, and the importance of owning libs on the internet. If you have been exposed to toiletofhell.com, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Call Grishnak and Faust at Grand Belial's Law Firm at 1-900-368-2825 because your butthurt is real pain.
Joe, listen, I'm fucking tired. Okay, how many years have we been through it with these ass clowns on a site that is probably going to get named lots of times on this show out loud? Names. We're going to name names. We're going to take human beings, real human beings with real faces that we can assign them to. We're going to drag them through mud that they fucking deserve to be dragged through. They talk about how pissed off we can possibly get. And, you know, usually they're over exaggerating, but they shouldn't be right now. You know, like what happened to you? What happened to us? I've never been so pissed off in my fucking life. And I'm tired of fucking around, Joe. Jordan, I'm tired of fucking around. We're going to end this shit. We're going to end it now. We're going to say anything we need to say to get these guys to shut the fuck up and have their website destroyed. And dude, we're going to say it right now after a quick word from our sponsors.
Doctor, my belly hurts.
You've got Norse imagery used by Nazis in your stomach.
Proud of your race?
Operation.
Werewolf. Rune tattoos on your face?
Operation.
Werewolf. Blaming your problems on Jews?
Operation.
Werewolf. Then I'm the doctor for you. Operation Werewolf is the self-described esoteric order that draws heavily from men's rights activist ideology and was created by the founder of the white power cult, Wolves of Vinland. Reading Julius Evola?
Operation!
Werewolf. Got theories on Ebola?
Operation!
Werewolf. Peter Best takes a picture war too?
Operation!
Werewolf. Then I'm the doctor for you.
Next, please.
Operation Werewolf. They sure do like fascism.
Fellas, has this ever happened to you? You're in your bedroom ready for a little monotheism, but instead you're stuck with a limp wormed? Well, no more. From the makers of Blue Chew comes Purple Chew, the only male vitality supplement for Tech Death fans. Purple Chew contains the same active ingredients as Viagra, with the added benefit of purple, an ancient ingredient known for enhancing Tech Death. Just pop one Purple Chew and in 45 minutes you'll feel completely renewed vigor and appreciation for double albums containing obscure time signatures and relentless sweet picking. Purple Chew comes shipped to you in discreet packaging featuring lots of shiny monsters attacking spire-filled galaxies. Enter in promo code WANK and get a free sample of Purple Chew. Let's start the show. All right. Well, thanks so much to our kind sponsors for paying the bills, keeping the lights on here at the Toil of Hell HQ.
Yeah, we got a lot of money coming in from, you know, so we couldn't do it without them, but we couldn't do it without the listeners either.
So thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Toil of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-host 365 Days of Horror and Brenno Side. How you guys doing?
I mean, I'm doing just fine. I think I had some time to calm down after those really necessary advertisements.
Yeah.
So I think we can sort out what we might need to sort out.
Yeah. Well, have you guys been up to anything lately? Like 365. I know you went back on your word.
Well, not entirely. My word was that I'm going to go to less shows this year, which I am still keeping. But I did go to a show this past week, not a metal show. I actually went to my first psychobilly / horrorbilly show.
Hey,
I see. So it doesn't count, really.
You broke.
It's a show. It counts, but yeah. It was a nice change of pace.
You broke your greaser cherry.
It was an interesting crowd. I thought I was going to be the only person there, like just in jeans and a plain hoodie. But there was plenty of normal people there, too. But there were mutton chops and pompadours and, you know, women with, there's one girl there with a big, like, green bow in her hair with a purple skeleton hand that I really liked. And,
of course.
You know, but I don't know what the bouffant hair is called, but where it's, like, a poof in the front and then, like, a ponytail in the back. So it was a fun show. The bands were all really good. The Brainiacs, Resurrex, and Necromantics. You could all look them up on Spotify. Fun music, all, you know, stuff about vampires and rocking in your coffin and that sort of thing.
Did they all, or did at least most of them, have upright basses?
Those three bands did. The only band that didn't was the local band.
Oh, good. So, and don't mention them, because that's not that's the barrier of fucking entry right there.
They were good. I'll give them a little audio dab. They're called Damnation from Massachusetts. So, yeah, it was a good show all around. But of course, this is me, so that means trouble has to follow me wherever I go. Despite not wanting to get into any situations with people, it seems to happen a lot. During Resurrex, who I was there to see, people were close up to the front and having a good time and dancing, like literally dancing, not shoving, not moshing, nothing stupid, just standing in place and having a good time. And for whatever reason, some doughy fuck just kind of started shoving through people to get to the front of the stage, like shoving. And then he turned around and started shoving his way to the back and getting through people. And he came to me and I shoved him out of existence because he went crashing to the floor and then was never seen again the rest of the night. So I don't know what happened to him. I assume he heard his little wee wee and then left.
You push him out of the plane of existence.
He turned into like Homer from the Treehouse of Horror episode where he went like 4D and then couldn't get out.
That's my boy 365, man. He just he like cucks dudes into oblivion at shows. They just, it's like, do not fuck with this guy.
It's not like I try to either. You know, I'm not posturing. It's not me trying to be a tough guy. It's just I have a very low tolerance for bullshit, and it always manages to happen in my general vicinity, which means I just have to find a corner in a venue and lean up against the wall and just stay there the entire night.
Well, the thing is, man, you're like the Batman of the metal scene.
And constantly beating up poor people.
Yeah. And being as such, you really can't avoid this sort of rise up of eccentric villains around you. So it's kind of like a catch-22. It's like you're a dark Avenger that rescues the scene from all sorts of villainy. But as a result of your own eccentric badassery, you just seem to have evil that follows. So you really can't avoid it. You know, it's just this tragic life that you have to live.
Well, this will make lurking in the shadows a lot less creepier.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's I used to see this local psychobilly band all the time in Austin. They're called the Flame Trick Subs, and they were fun because they had a couple little quirks to the band. For one, their upright bass player didn't have a hand, so he would play the upright bass with a stump, which was extremely gnarly looking. And most of the time they would play with this group called Satan's Cheerleaders, who were a group of local goth strippers that would like dance wearing 666 cheerleader uniforms around them.
It's cool on the nose, don't you think?
You know, metal likes to think of itself as having all these like creative outlets and masks and paint and uniforms and stuff like that, but I kind of think psychobilly has them beaten, at least in terms of creativity and being fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly any kind of Billy type dude, but I, if they were playing, you know, near me, I would go check them out because that's a fun time. It's a good experience, which most of the time I can't say for local metal bands.
And the thing I was most impressed with was the breakdown and setup times for all the bands. It makes me hate metal when I saw how fast everyone got on, tuned, and just started playing. When in metal bands, it's everyone's got to move their half stacks and their orange amps and put their pedal boards on and tune and tune and tune. And can I get a little more reverb?
You're dangerously, dangerously close to talking about gear here.
That's the most, well, it's talking about gear and making fun of it. I think that's allowed. I'm not going to talk about humbucker pickups.
Well, no, you just did.
We could. Yeah, I mean, like, Brenna, let me tell you about this new guitar I got.
Man.
All right.
Fender Telly Boy. That's the first electric guitar, solid body electric guitar.
I thought it
mass
was
production.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know. I think that Gibson beat him to the punch with some kind of solid body, but, like, I guess mass produced.
Right, right.
Before we get into this whole thing with Death Metal Underground, let's talk about the 90-part series of the making of the electric guitar.
Yeah. And Leo Fender and, you know, I don't know, Joe Gibson, whatever the fuck his name was.
Debbie.
I'm sorry.
It was Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson?
I have no idea.
No.
I'm trying.
Because I would believe you. Like, Southern dudes have weird lady names all the time. You could have been like, you know, Leslie Thrash and Kill, and I would have just been like, okay, cool.
I love the idea of a boy named Debbie.
Yeah, that's how we do. Yeah, no, the point I was going to make was that Leo Fender almost got Les Paul over on his side in the very, very beginnings. But I guess he didn't like it. He didn't like that there old Fender guitar.
Well, I do. And all right, Brenna, what's been going on with your life?
Well, I guess we should talk about the elephant in the room. You know, this thing that we've just been dealing with for weeks and weeks now. And it's been a long time coming. But I've been sick for the last couple of weeks.
I'm sorry.
And
man.
I have not been as present on the show as I've wanted to been. I have like slept through the messages of these guys trying to get me on the show. I've just been like, you know, death, not that much warmed over. I got the flu and it was the worst flu I've ever had in my entire life. Like I coughed up blood for the first time in my entire life and I would just could not go to the hospital because I was in between jobs and I did not have any insurance.
Ooh, hey, that sweet, sweet healthcare system we got built up.
That's right. That's right. I could have probably paid like, what, $700 for Cobra for the, you know, 6 days it would have taken for me to get approved for health insurance for my new job. But I had to start my new job extremely sick. Like I would just go to work like that because I had no other choice. What am I going to do? Call out sick for like my first week of work. So it's a fun time and extremely exhausting. And I survived somehow. But yeah, I made it through. And now I'm back to hang out with my, my best podcast friends.
I'm so glad that you made it. And that I assume you didn't like infect everybody that you work with at your new job.
Well, I think a lot of people get a flu shot. Whereas I just, it's not like I'm anti-vax, I'm just lazy. Totally different.
I love the idea of a network of parents, like in affluent areas, they're like advocating to not vaccinate their children simply because they're lazy, not because they think it causes like autism or something.
It's like, don't go to the Walgreens and get a free shot. Just watch TV on the couch. It's fine.
Watching Dr. Oz. Got no time for that shit.
You got other stuff to do.
That's fantastic. Yeah, get your flu shot if you can get them. Lots of, like, the last few places I've worked at, they offer them for free, like, in the workplace. You can't say no to that. Get a candy bar afterwards.
It's like the one free thing you can get in America.
Yeah, and it's like entirely so like they can keep you at your desk.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I guess nothing's free.
Yeah.
Freedom isn't free.
No. Yeah. Stomp my vaccine. I'll stomp your ass. Is that how that saying goes?
Is there a saying?
Yeah. Something like that. OK, so I figured that I'd go ahead and delve into the origins of this whole thing. But I really have to pee right now, actually. So do you guys want to take over for a second?
Helping you pee? No.
Okay, then I guess I'll do that on my own. You guys carry the show for a few minutes.
Sounds good, man.
I mean, the real Metal Outlaw Alpha move would be to take the microphone into the bathroom.
Yeah, it's just piss loudly and proudly.
Moaning.
Just, oh, yeah, like a hand against the wall kind of a piss.
Leaning over, eyes half open, maybe singing a little bit, and you hear just a little bit of splat, a little splashing on the floor, with a followed by a whoops.
Just really leaning into it, like a long, multiple beer pee, which you're not familiar with, but I'm sure you've had like a couple Mountain Dews, and it just came rushing out, you know,
like sleeping through a night and waking up at 6 a.m. after dreaming that you're going to the bathroom, and then going, oh god, everyone out of the way.
Yeah, it's like the very beginning of the first Austin Powers movie, which the first one I thought was funny and seminal and necessary for our culture. Other two, not so much. But in the first movie, when he was unfrozen from the ice, he had that really long pee scene. And I just like relate to that on a spiritual level every time I wake up from like a night of drinking. It's just like that 10-minute piss that just never seems to stop.
With the twitching foot and all.
Yeah, yeah. Just one of those ones where you just wake up and it's just amazing. Like you just really appreciate the miracle of nature that allowed you not to piss the bed that night before. Like how your body just holds it for you while you're like sleeping. And then you'll be dreaming, like you'll be walking around in a dream, having to piss, finding bathrooms in your dream, you know, unzipping your fly, doing the deed, and then the relief that you're supposed to feel isn't happening.
Last time I took a flight about a year ago, when I got on the plane, it was like, uh-oh, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. But the flight's only like an hour and change. I'll be okay. And I was in the middle seat, and there was some stranger sitting next to me in the aisle seat. And I'm just like, I don't want to bother him, but whatever, I'll be okay. But of course, when the flight's like only an hour and change, you're not including, at least mentally, all the taxiing the plane's doing, the pre-flight check-in, like all that stuff, and then landing and then having to taxi again. So it's really like a 2.5-hour flight. And I'm just sitting there dying. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm in physical pain. Like,
yeah.
What am I going to do? And it's to the point where, you know, please don't get out of your seats. We're landing and taxiing and all that stuff.
Oh my God. And we got, and like, then you got a plane full of like 400 people, and you're,
and
not,
you
supposed
have
to be in the aisle. Yeah. You can't be in the fucking aisle waiting to piss. They make you sit back down.
Right.
I feel like you
have to wait for everyone to get their bags and then say, excuse me, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then first class has to go. People ahead of you have to go. And I'm just, you know, in physical pain to the point where I just run to the bathroom in the airplane, despite everyone leaving. I'm like, I cannot wait anymore.
Yeah.
So thanks, Joe. Thanks for making us talk about urinating for 3 minutes.
Well, there's a lot of great pissed-themed metal bands. You have Piss
Grave. Pee-pee Grave.
Yeah, Wee Wee. Wheezy Grave. They're getting some trouble recently with some people.
What happened?
Well, I mean, they put out an album cover that was really rude.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the album cover. I thought maybe something different.
I mean, recent to me is like 6 months ago. That's just how I feel. I don't live at the speed of the internet. I just don't. So when I say recently,
now.
When I say recently, we could be talking about the last 4 years. I don't, you know, it's like, Fight Club came out pretty recently, right?
Well, I'm back, guys. And I'm ready to get into this thing with Death Metal Underground. But first, you want to give me a recap of what you were just talking about?
Well, what we were talking about was, Jordan had this very painful piss hold that he had to do. He had to do like the Kegel crunch, you know what I mean? Where he's just like in a airplane seat between two other chuds that are just blocking his way. And he's got to pee for like a 2 hour long flight, you know, and he's got to hold it. And there's all the awkward feelings that are surrounding that. Like, oh, do I tell this person to get the fuck out of my way? Or I got to wait for the baggage to be you know, put in the proper receptacles while all these dummies come through like a pig in a chute. Talked about that stuff. Airplanes, it's terrible, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you guys ever noticed that when you watch movies, like a long action movie, like Commando, could be anything, could be Triple X or whatever. I'm just watching this movie and I'm like, this guy's been really busy. Is he taking the time to like take a shit at any point?
Well, that's like, the theory for 24, you know, the TV show. It only takes place in one day and every episode is like an hour. And yeah. In that time, he never goes to the bathroom.
Yeah. Like, how come there's just a serious lack of pooping in Star Wars? There's so much stuff going on.
I assume that the protagonists are so loaded with adrenaline that they're sweating out all their piss and they're just like, you know, because they haven't eaten anything, because they're so busy saving the world or whatever, that they got no poop to process.
It's like Kim Jong-un, right? Like, they're just, they burn it all up in their system because they're so busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the idea. If you're busy enough, you'll never have to use the bathroom.
Right. Now, but it's just... Like, what if you're like in the middle of like a movie sword fight, like just like a fight scene, like an extended fight scene, and the whole time like one of those people has to take a shit? Like, I feel like that could be some drama that you could inject into that scene. You got like these guys like karate moving on each other, and like one of them is trying not to shit their pants during this like punch and kick.
Oh yeah, exchange. You catch a fist to the stomach. I assume you're gonna poop your shorts.
Yeah.
This sounds like a really bad Seth Rogen movie.
Now, the real question...
I'm going to shit my pants!
I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday the news was out that the director of John Wick 3 is going to be the director of the Wachowskis. They're putting out a Matrix 4. And I'm pretty excited about that, even though 2 and 3 were awful. I think that there's a chance to make it to redeem itself. But my question for this is, like, if you're plugged into the Matrix, do you also have, like, a colostomy bag strapped in or something? Like, if you're, like, logged into the Matrix for several hours, are you just, like, pooping and pissing your pants?
Well, it was easy when the robots designed it, because when the robots designed the Matrix and they had everybody in their big gooey tubes, everybody was just shitting in the tubes and feeding each other poop and pee.
Yeah.
And like and when they died, like all the babies would just eat the human death goo.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's
wait, hold
poop
on.
And pee.
Are you telling me the Matrix and Human Centipede are in the same universe?
not the same universe, but thematically similar in that regard, that we are eating each other's excrement to survive. You know, yeah. And it's like you're eating a steak in the Matrix and ignorance is bliss, et cetera, but, you know, if you're not ignorant and you're red-pilled like me, you realize that you're getting, you know, a healthy diet of poo-poo and wee-wee.
Yeah.
Boom-boom from everybody who's, like, in all the goo tubes around you.
So by, like, ruining the robot's plan, look, we've created new complications for ourselves. Like, suddenly you're pooping and pissing yourself.
Right. Like, what if in that scene where they had to shut down all the power on their ship so the robots didn't find them, like, one of them had to take a shit, like a piss or something, like, just like an opportune time, like, oh, I gotta hold it.
Yeah. I mean, can the robot sense poop?
Like, my greatest fear when I'm driving on the highway is, like, crashing my car while I have to piss. Like, I'm on my way home or shit or something. Like, you're kind of holding it. You're like, all right, I got 20 minutes to get home, but it's going to be fine. But then, like, I get in a horrible car crash and, like, I pass out and they just find me, like, with my pants all shitted.
I think about that a lot, actually. I just assume if I'm dead, I've already, like, you know, it's done.
There should be more metal songs about that kind of a thing.
I agree.
It's like Trapped Under Ice, but it's like, you know, Trapped in a car.
Right. I'm so glad that we can have these moments together, boys. But okay. All right. Do you want to do the thing now?
No.
No.
And another thing about bodily functions.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I figure that we've tested folks' patience enough. We can go ahead and get into this. So here's the origin of the whole weird scenario, okay? You guys may remember, like, maybe even 2 years ago, we had done a couple of shows where we...
Speaking
like,
of Origin, Jordan had made a Photoshop, like a year ago, of all the Origin members with Rick and Morty faces on them. And then the band made a huge piss and shit and stink about it.
It's
and,
true.
And then they made a post, like a tour flyer using Jordan's Photoshop, like just a few days ago.
It wasn't a few days ago. I just discovered it a few days ago.
Oh.
So the background on this is, we've talked about this on the show before, is I haven't had one in a while, but I had would have articles on the site called Shirt Stains where just poke fun at bad band shirts. And their band shirt had a character from Rick and Morty on. And I goofed on it because this was around the same time that people were going nuts over McDonald's Szechuan sauce. Is that what it was?
Yeah, the Szechuan sauce, because they made
a cartoon referenced it. Right. These man children acted absurdly and were filmed being stupid. So I just goofed on it, and they took like great offense to this and made this extra long Facebook post where they admitted their shirt was dumb, but were still mad that I said their shirt was dumb, which we found out later was actually a Photoshop from someone we know that's in the Toilet of Hell Facebook group. And I just found recently that the Photoshop I did for the article, which replaced the Origin members' heads with characters from Rick and Morty, they used it for a flyer. So it's very on brand for them to take other people's work, apparently.
Shame, Origin. For shame.
I can't wait to see you play third on a 6-band death metal bill for nice. The 1,000th time.
That's funny. Okay, so we had those shows like 2 years ago where we made fun of DMU a little bit, and we did that episode that we will never ever replicate where we said that we were going to put the nail in the coffin of DMU, and we just did a bunch of dumb commercials instead of actually talking about Death Metal Underground. I will never do that again. But that was a pretty fun one.
Terrible idea.
And they've just kind of stayed angry about it. So when I got back from Japan, we did that episode, number 179, Rawhide Kobayashi Returns. You know, what we did on that episode was not a whole lot. I talked about Japan and talked about getting married and shit. There wasn't a whole lot in terms of real solid content there, but it was enough to bring one little knuckle dragger out the woodwork. This guy that made an account called Toilet of Hell Are Gay left a comment on that post saying, "Damn, Joe sounds like he is the woman in his relationship, a man cucked by the monkey on his Twitter pics. Please come to Senegal and we will beat you up, dirty white monkey." To which I replied to him, "The only way I know how, it's Toilet of Hell is gay, you fucking cretin." He proceeded to interact with some of the other commenters, in which he was pretending to be an African guy and, you know, leaving a lot of racist comments, as a Death Metal Underground fella is likely to do. He replied to me and said, "You are a fragile 65-kilogram man with chicken legs and a wife who looks more like a man than you with a monkey face." I replied to him with, "I remember you now. You're the Eastern Euro from DMU that got fucking deported, lol." And I'm here to tell you folks that I was wrong, okay? I was thinking of the former editor of DMU who was an Eastern Euro that got fucking deported.
They couldn't, yeah, he can't edit it anymore. He's back in a country where he's not allowed to.
Yeah, he's back behind the Iron Curtain. So pour one out for that guy. For this fella, after I banned him on Discuss, he immediately turned around and he made a Twitter account, which I mentioned on an episode, two episodes ago, I think. The account was Joe Monkey Wife, in which he spent a few weeks tweeting at me and at Twill of Hell and at you, Bruno, with pictures that I had posted of my wife on Twitter, in which he started writing erotic sexual role play to me. So, you know,
about you to you.
Yeah. So yeah. Pretending to be my wife and constantly tweeting at me sexual scenarios of us getting down and dirty, which I mentioned it, you know, I don't know how things are done over at DMU because they're all about the trad wife lifestyle. So it's a little weird to me that you as a man would create an account as a woman tweeting at another man pretending to be his wife and creating elaborate sexual scenarios in that regard. Again, yeah. I don't understand the DMU mindset. I'm just saying this is what happened.
Yeah, it was quite quite a thing to see unfold before our eyes. It was really something special.
So I said that on that show two episodes ago, and that one I we must have spent 30 seconds talking about this because we had other shit going on. And in response, Nicholas Vadius, the fella responsible for all of this, the original Discuss commenter, the Twitter account user, and the current editor of Death Metal Underground, wrote this piece titled SMR, Mocking the Desperate Cries of Toilet of Hell. It's about 3,000 words about me, and he's posted several very flattering pictures that I had posted up on Twitter of myself.
Yeah,
In Japan. I'm looking tight, looking healthy, looking nice.
Right. It's like it's almost like you put up those pictures of yourself on the internet on purpose.
Yeah. So I don't feel like I'm getting owned when I've got a picture of myself in a Japanese video game store. I had tweeted at No Cartridge, that video game podcast that I like, because I was wearing their shirt. I have a monkey crawling on me while I'm happily feeding it, you know, filled with joy being in nature with animals as I like to be.
Look at this guy smiling and being happy.
Look at this fucking loser outside in a different country living a life.
My happy place essentially is at the Nagasaki Biopark, where you can feed all sorts of animals and they're very happy to hang out with you and eat your food.
Yeah, they don't care if you're a baka gaijin. They just they want to hang out and have some munchies.
So god damn, I don't want to read the entire thing, but I will read a little bit of this if this is okay with you.
It's not, but go ahead.
I don't know if I have it in me to do a French accent, because Nicholas is French. He's from France. Nicholas Vadius from France.
Yeah, just what you need to do is you need to raise the pitch of your voice by about 40 fucking... you know, if I was Nicholas Vadius and I had the music theory 101 knowledge that he does, because he loves to post his B-minus essays that, you know, his professor wasn't really that impressed by at the college he's currently attending, because he's 19, I'm sure. I probably know octave. Is the word octave?
Yeah, octave will work.
Yeah. That's how you can sound like Nicholas Vadius.
The castrati.
Yeah, castrati, just high as possible, childish as possible. Sound like a 14-year-old boy trying to make a podcast with his webcam microphone, and you got it.
So let's just go ahead and read the introduction to this, if that's all right with you.
Sure, go ahead.
Toilet of Hell, a website created after a group of individuals were too soft for meta sucks and their safe space politics and had to find somewhere even more pathetic to talk about metal. The aesthetics and writing style are even worse than Metal Sucks, and focus on self-deprecating humor mixed with a lack of ability to actually understand anything they talk about. A herd-like move towards inclusive and left-wing politics has attracted a few other weak individuals on Twitter, and I'm just going to fucking Chinese guy now. I'm going to go back to Eastern Europe. I feel much better about it. To constantly push around the same hilarious ideas in exchange for acceptance and friendship in the form of retweets.
Are you comfortable with Eastern Europe?
It's all a boulabuse of weird foreign guy. Naturally, this wasn't... God damn it, I can't think of anything. Naturally, this wasn't going to get them any more exposure, as a number of self-proclaimed black metal fans that love bands like Dimmu Borgir and White Horde Yet, or, I've never heard of White Ward in my life.
I mean, Dimmu Borgir, I think the last interaction I had with them was in 2004.
I did a video breakdown of a Dimmu Borgir video that was very silly. But that's about, yeah. I still don't know what a White Ward is. If you know what a White Ward is, leave us a comment here, and we'll look into it eventually.
We're never going to look into it.
You're horrified and oblivious to the actual classics of the genre. That's me. I am horrified and oblivious to the classics of the genre.
Are you horrifyingly oblivious or horrified oblivious?
Horrified or oblivious. So I'm either like terrified to listen to like Altars of Madness, or I'm oblivious that like Blessed or the Sick exists. I don't know.
Oh, Transylvanian Hunger. No.
Oh no, Slayer. Oh.
Some time ago, Joe and his cohorts had decided to attack DMU on two separate occasions that failed completely before resorting to small jabs on Twitter. And I want to go ahead and fight against that real quick, because we did those two shows that I thought were, you know, very silly and very fun, and the results of which were one of the editors getting fucking deported, and the other editor, Cullen Toner, becoming a tradcath and starting creating Christian metal instead of writing for DMU. So I don't know if they were that failed.
Yeah, I think you guys are like the arbiters of your own destruction. We just sit back and watch you do it. I'll tell you, man, the last time I went on there and there was some kind of essay about like the genius of Wagner, I went down to the comments and there was only one comment from another DMU reader, and it just said the N-word. That's all it said.
Accurate.
So,
after having gone through their website after their attack on DMU, I wasn't interested in pursuing a bunch of 40-year-old men who had no actual musical education and a sufficient lack of political culture to be taken seriously. Yet it has come to my attention that Joe is so desperate for any kind of gossip that he has called me out on his website for creating intricate sex scenarios revolving him and his wife. It's time to flush Joe into the toilet once and for all. Okay, so this continues on for a long, long while, and it's dumb and meandering and has no real point. But the important thing to here note is that Nicholas is denying that he had created this Twitter account. After he published this article, in which he got like 90 comments of people saying, "Holy shit, this is the biggest self-own I've ever fucking seen." he sent me an email. He sent me several emails, actually. Would we like to get into those?
Before we do, I just want to posit that if, as he says, he isn't this person who created the Twitter account or even the Discuss name, how did he know about this to write such a long article?
Great question.
I was going through the comments of the DMU back and forth, because there were a lot of people kind of pulling on him, DMU guys mostly, that said that this is fucking lame. Can we write about death metal, please, for once on this stupid site? And then a lot of guys from Twitter who saw the account that he made and were just owning him about it. And he replied with this insane theory that he wrote a very simple program that anybody who knows anything about programming can do, where if anybody mentions him anywhere on the internet, he is immediately notified.
So, yeah, that when we do a podcast, you know, we write those transcriptions dutifully every week.
Oh, well, he wrote a very extremely simple program, I'm sure, that scanned all of the voice activity on the internet as well. So I'm sure me saying Nicholas Vadius right now, his cell phone is going off, and he's taking a look-see at what's going on Skype. So,
of course.
Interesting. But the most puzzling aspect of that complete fucking lie is the fact that no one was really saying your name on Twitter, Nicholas.
Yeah, like, nobody knows you, nobody cares about you. That's the thing.
Yeah, you're kind of a nobody by a lot.
But I didn't didn't reply to his post aside from posting on Twitter, like, look at this fucking loser. because I didn't reply further, he sent me an email. Joe, why can't you keep me out of your mind? Rather than bitching about me on Twitter and calling me out on shitty podcasts, you could have contacted me to sort out the situation with your troll that is obviously pushing you over the edge. You are fixating on Yearn for Change, but if you look up on Metal Archives, I had nothing to do with that album and was brought in to help change the sound and push the music forwards from sappy mellow death. Now you can try to make fun of me because I don't care, and we both know your insults are retarded. I'm sorry for saying that, that's just reading his email. I ask of you not to make fun of my bandmates, otherwise I will bring your wife into this. Those guys have nothing to do with this. Keep sharing that picture of me. I am laughing at your comments and chicken legs.
Interesting that the chicken legs comment comes up again, because wasn't that used on the Discus as well?
It was in the original Discus. That is correct. Yeah.
Hmm. How about that?
Interesting. Yeah. Also, I don't think I've posted pics of my legs on Twitter, but my quads are fucking huge, dude. I replied to him, "Hi, Nicholas. What situation is there to sort out? Best, Joe." he replied,
white guys writing paragraphs.
"Rather than crying with your nasal voice on a podcast and throwing around accusations, have the decency to back up your claims. We both know your website attracts fat leftists, unemployed, and uneducated losers."
Hey,
so it shouldn't,
I have a job.
Same.
Yeah.
"So it shouldn't be a surprise that one of your followers made the Twitter account. You have been so effete in your behavior that you are unable to do anything but let those slobs run to your rescue while sharing emails and the work of my band of brothers who weren't even aware of the situation. Cowardice has always been a staple of the left. I would have invited you for a crossover podcast, but your third-rate website barely gets any views, and you are just a poor man's Ben Umanov, or whatever his name it is. I will tell you one more time, you can continue failing at making fun of me, but if you drag any people who have nothing to do with this, this picture of you and your wife will end up in unsavory places. Try writing a piece like this once in your life." And he wrote a fucking piece about Richard Wagner, which is like, in terms of classical music, it's like, have you ever heard of the Beatles?
There's this guy, Edgar Allan Poe. He's a really good writer.
So let me dissect this email a bit. I don't know. It seems like this was all a big stunt to try to get a spot on our podcast. Is that what you're getting from this? Because that's the vibe that I got.
I love that first line. He says, like, you can't get me out of your mind. It's like he might as well be writing his own stalker movie. Like, that is just classic fucking stalker behavior 101.
Why
just,
are you like, so implying, obsessed with me?
Yeah, like, why? It's like, this guy is a fucking classic, insane, compulsive liar, stalker, sociopath, you name it all. He's losing his mind. He's weaving like his own tale. He's making up all this stuff. And you showed me the emails and there's a lot more to it. He's got this whole tale that he's like spun for himself, describing his own life and how he's simply too busy to be doing the things that we're watching happen with our own eyes, even under his own name. So yeah, it's a lot.
It's pretty wild. I replied to him. I said, so what do you want then?
Oh, you should also bring up that from his email that he mentioned about us not getting views, that someone actually posted a side-by-side comparison of our Alexa scores.
I haven't looked at our web analytics in about 6 months because I've been so busy with my new job that, like, I really haven't had as much time for Toilet of Hell. And I figured, you know, we probably dropped in rankings quite a bit simply because, I mean, haven't had time to post as much. And I was wrong. Our analytics are looking real nice right now. DMU, however, is in the fucking toilet, not the Toilet of Hell.
Yeah, they're struggling. Not to mention that I mean, considering anus.org or whatever, this has been a site much, much longer than Toilet of Hell has been a site.
Yeah, this, like, it's been around in some form or another for, fuck, like, since, like, the bored days of the internet before you
had, yeah, we're
like,
talking vintage internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for us to be, like, just, you know, dominating you guys, just dominating you guys in views is just it's a little sad. And I mean, sometimes DMU you squeak up just a little bit. Sometimes, you know, maybe you get a neat article about something or other, you know, calling Kim Kelly a crab, or, you know, I don't know,
whatever. I guarantee you the posts you wrote about me got them more traffic than any kind of dumbass like classical composer piece that he would write.
That's another thing, too. I think this is probably the one form of media that we're doing right now that's ever been dedicated to little old Nicholas here.
Well, I hope you relish it, because we're going to continue through this.
Cool.
Here's your moment in the sun, Nicholas. Nicholas replies, "First of all, stop acting like a bitch and accusing me for something I didn't do. Be logical for a second. Who in the DMU community has the time to make a fake account full of these weird leftist fantasies that are incredibly prevalent with your readers? Most of our readers aren't jobless and don't use Twitter. Also, you can stop sharing every email and relying on your old boyfriend Shane to save you while you cry, who also happens to be the stupidest human in existence." I'm going to go ahead. He keeps targeting Shane. Like, he put Shane in the article about me. Shane doesn't even write for Toilet of All. He never has. He's just a guy who's nice, and I like him.
It's just like a random photo of him, too. Yeah.
Also, making fun of French guys for spelling heroes as heroes, that would be with the E versus without the E, isn't very smart, especially as you barely speak a language at all. That's actually fair criticism. I am guessing your level of education is even lower than your testosterone levels. Just keep people who have nothing to do with this away from it all, and don't throw accusations like a false rape victim, and I'll refrain from attacking your little weeb website.
Nicholas, we've seen your picture, man. I don't know why you keep talking about testosterone and, like,
you were completely hairless. Chicken legs. You were the smoothest boy that ever was.
You are a little porcelain doll boy. You are a little, little boy. You are a small child. If you're even remotely a man, you're not much of one, my friend.
So I actually gave him a real reply on this one. And I shouldn't have done that, maybe. I don't know. Let's go ahead and do this anyway. I replied with, "I don't care if you attack my little weeb website. I'm a grown-up. I can handle criticism. The thing you need to understand is that people are not as stupid as you seem to believe. After I banned you for leaving racist comments on my site, remember, I can see your email address in the Discuss admin panel. You immediately made that Twitter account. Then you sought out a picture I posted of you on Twitter and commented underneath that in your weird roleplay account that you wanted to get fucked by you. You did that, Nick. You can own up to it, or you can quit trying to be a badass and pretend that none of this ever happened. Criticism is a two-way street. If you keep coming at me personally, I'm going to keep roasting you for it." And this brings us to the end of the exchange, because I haven't replied to his latest email yet, because I figure this podcast will serve as that. He replies, "Ha ha 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 ha, you are fucking hilarious, mate. How is that fucking related to the Twitter account? Had I known about the image, I would have retaliated much, much earlier. I know that you can see the email attached to Discuss, and how is it racist when I'm actually part Senegalese? You have had fun sharing my pic, but you never realized that I don't actually look Western European at all? Have you seen my nose, skin tone, and my facial structure?
And the shape of my skull?
Have you taken out your calipers? Or maybe you just thought that I was a typical Mediterranean fascist like you Americans believe. Look yes. up the Berber, Shlou, or Kabyle Shepharde Jews that are white-passing native Africans. Funny how you insulted both France and Italy as shitholes and then called me the racist." I'm sorry, that's what we do on this show, buddy. "France is the birthplace for the grand majority of leftist thought. Marx is widely respected even by extremely white right-wing political parties.
Is he, huh?
Yeah. For your information, though, I am not an ethnic Senegalese, though a large amount of ethnic Middle Easterners were born and raised there. Just because someone lives in a country doesn't mean they bear its nationality. So think again before living in your little Passé Noir fantasy. Oh, I'm the racist. One day you will see the world and understand that most of what you Americans believe about others is genuinely retarded. Again, I'm sorry for saying that. I'm just reading the email. I will let you guess where I come from. Hint, Middle East and not Israel.
Thanks for pointing that out, by the way.
Yeah. There is no...
I don't want you to be confused.
Yeah.
I'm not from Israel.
I'm not a Jew.
I'm not a Jew. Don't tell anyone I'm a Jew, okay?
Don't tell my bandmates I'm a Jew. You better not.
There is no fucking correlation between the Twitter account and me. You post a picture of, and then you get surprised when some troll sees a picture of a random guy and makes weird comments. No way I could have spent that much time doing that, as just after I called you a tubab, colloquial term for a European white with no prejudice behind it, and you banned me. I didn't even have time to post on DMU. Why would I waste valuable time for writing on making dumb jokes? I had 3 exams and 1 project meeting during the following couple of days, as evidenced by the lack of content published on DMU.
I am 18 and a half.
Though your attacks were impossible to ignore. I don't go around acting like a jackass. You just imagine these things out of your own neurotic sensibilities.
I don't go around acting like a jackass.
Yes.
It is email where I'm acting like a jackass.
It is fucking hilarious when your friends like Shane and the other jobless fat slobs roast me. I share it with my rugby teammates who laugh even more. The guy with the 8-inch biceps who called me a wimp is my hero. Anyway, don't scapegoat me for your weird followers attacking you. Easiest thing to do is to get your friends to report the images on Twitter and then check on Google to see if they have spread. It's obvious that you are upset about your wife, but go find the real culprit like an actual man instead of insulting a bunch of people who are not related to the situation in any way. I will even help you and try to provide an actual email or Facebook account that was used if you just leave my bandmates out of this.
Ooh.
So much pathos.
So he can get you the information that you need from this random troll if you just ask him. And, or you could have.
And leave my bandmates out of this. This is the one request that he has put over and over and over again while he's repeatedly conjured up some weird fantasy scenario in which he's being unfairly targeted for something he didn't do. The most important thing is don't involve my bandmates. Yeah. Which bandmates are those? Well, let's go ahead and take a look here. Nicholas Claudius.
Let's find out.
In a band called Yearn for Change, which sounds like shitty mellow death to me, which is not exactly the kind of thing that I would expect from a hardcore alpha badass like a DMU editor, but you know, what do I know?
I was looking up this band and Yearn for Change, like what kind of change? Like what needs to be better? We need to have less assholes like your boy Nicholas running around emailing everybody.
And just yearning. It's not very assertive, is it, for an outlaw metal alpha? Just kind of like, I want change, but
my reaction for Yearn for Change was that puberty was hard.
Too true. We could play some Yearn for Change on the show, but it's really fucking shitty. Like you don't understand how the basics of recording work. You don't know what compression is. You don't know how to apply reverb or how to mix anything so it sounds like it goes together. Say nothing of the actual musical material, which is sophomoric at best. I was tempted to write a review of it, but I didn't want to give you the thing that I guess you clearly want or don't want. I don't know. I'm confused by what he needs here.
I think he's extremely terrified that his band is going to find out how batshit nuts this guy is and not want to hang out with him anymore and think he's less cool. I mean, imagine this guy like running up to his rugby mates with his little phone on Twitter and just showing everybody, guys, do you want to see something funny? Oh,
oh, look at it. I made a Joe monkey wife account, and this guy's really mad. It's like, I'm pretty sure that whoever he ran up to kind of smiled at him and went, haha, that's great, Nicholas. And then that was all the convincing he needed, that his fellow rugby team members are laughing their asses off with him about this whole situation. I cannot even perceive that going on in reality.
This is the expanded version, but it all boils down to, I'm not mad, I'm actually laughing, it's funny to me. I showed it to all my friends, we're all laughing.
Who would fucking look at this and just be like, yeah, that's great, Nicholas, that's hilarious?
Out of all the weird shit that has happened to me on the internet by running Toilet of Hell and making fun of fascists, this is the most bizarre by far. That this guy comes out of nowhere to pretend to be my wife and want to have sex with me. I don't get it. I don't understand any of it. And the more that I delve into it, the less I understand. I mean, do you guys have any possible interpretation of what's going through this guy's mind?
He's extremely mad. You upset him by saying some things that were very basic. And he just can't seem to not respond to any given transgression against him. It's one of those guys. You just can't let it go.
What do you think, Jordan?
Well, I think we're looking at two things. Either he has mental health problems and truly believes that all these things that have happened were not done by him or caused by him or have been followed up by him with very long articles and emails, or he's lying. Which one do you want to choose? Neither are good.
I think he has a special guest that wants to join us here, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can they hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, hey. I just heard Joe talking about this in the office and wanted to chime in just very briefly if Nick is listening.
Oh, he's listening.
100%. It was very weird initially to see someone parodying me. And then I noticed how much you were talking about my arms. Thank you. I do lift a lot, and I noticed you're looking kind of soft. So, if you want to slide out of my husband's DMs, I'd be more than happy to give you tips on definition, because you're looking a little soft.
He's a very soft boy. And Britt is very swole. Honestly, like, I don't know what else we could add to that. You just got fucking roasted to death and back. My wife fucking put the nail in your coffin, bitch.
Wow. Bravo.
The only piece of advice I have is the next time you feel like posting about Joe or Shane or really any part of metal Twitter or writers from various metal websites, just don't. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time. You're not going to get the reaction you think you're going to get, and you're just going to get mad. So, like I said, go hang out with your rugby team. Go do something. It ain't worth it.
We're old. We've been doing this internet thing for a while, and as a result, we're fucking mean, as shown by this show.
Yeah, and I'm like, Jordan and Joe and I, at this point, we're really good friends. And so it's like, of course, we're going to like sit down and have maybe an hour, maybe hour, 10 minute conversation about this. But we're not going to talk about it on the next show. We're not going to talk about it about the one after that, regardless of how you react about your next big takedown piece. It's just like, we're going to move on with our lives. We're going to keep rapping bands. We're going to keep writing articles, keep having a good time, keep having people who like appreciate us and, you know, submit real life money to our Patreon because they care about the site so much. And, you know, just kind of, I don't see if you have all those same parallels with DMU.
Yeah. We've got like several great guests coming on for interviews, and we're going to focus on the cool shit that they're doing. And we're never, ever going to revisit this. Like, yeah. I'm spitting this out in the trash can. We're fucking done.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like we got nothing better to do today. We're just having a good time. It's Mother's Day. We're about to probably like go get Hallmark cards.
We're all
going to
go see your moms.
Like, who gives a shit? You know, it's just we had to talk about it, though, because it's really funny. It's really strange. And anything that we can do to show just how batshit bonkers the guys at DMU are is, you know, we'll take that chance. At least this one last time.
Well, everybody, it's been an episode. We'll see you again for the next one, where we're going to instead focus on cool things happening in the scene, aside from little weird Frenchmen. Bye, everybody.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.